WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Oh boy, have you heard the news? Yeah, my entire show open for today has completely just been tossed out the window. Breaking news concerning the Detroit Lions organization. Two fires have just occurred in the last 30 minutes that you are going to want to hear about. It's going to lead our current sports quick hit headliners. You will get live reactions to these moves from Isaac, myself, from our PA, Austin Goodman, from you out there. Call in 517-355-9527. Again, big news concerning the Detroit Lions organization. Two fires have occurred, folks. We'll talk about that. We'll also recap what occurred last night on the hardwood at the Breslin Center as Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team, they opened exhibition play against Northern Michigan last night. Some pretty good outings, and specifically when talking about Denzel Valentine, was he good or what last night? You get to hear from Coach Izzo and more. We'll also chat about Detroit not getting the college football playoff destination bid due to the auto show. Throwback Thursday, also Ron DeLeon, MMA and boxing fight promoter, will join me on the later part of the hour. All of that and so much more, but let's hit you with our current sports quick hit headliners for this Thursday, November 5th. Again, folks, breaking news. The Detroit Lions, after a 1-7 start to the season, they have fired general manager Martin Mayhew and president Tom Luan. Sources have told that to ESPN's NFL insider Adam Schefter. The changes come less than a week after Mayhew said the franchise would be buyers at the trade deadline. And then guess what they did? They made no moves, zero moves, either acquiring or trading personnel. The Lions also suffered a blowout 45-10 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs out in London on Sunday. You better believe we are going to have more on that story in just a second. Michigan State overpowered their Division II counterpart, Northern Michigan, 94-53, with five different Spartans scoring in double figures in the exhibition opener of the 2015-16 year. Senior Denzel Valentine was outstanding last night. He recorded a triple-double, while senior Bryn Forbes led all scorers with 23. 13 Spartans recorded points in the outing, including five who scored for the first time donning the green and white. Forbes' 23 was powered by shooting 7 of 10, yes, 7 of 10 from beyond the arc. Running into a tenacious Indiana offense, the Michigan State men's soccer team ended the regular season with a 4-1 loss to the Hoosiers on a seasonably warm day at DeMartin Stadium. With the loss, MSU ends the regular season 8-8-2, 2-4-2 in the Big Ten Conference action. Indiana improves to 11-4-2 overall and 4-3-1 in league play. Michigan State now awaits its seeding for the upcoming Big Ten tourney. The Spartans will play on Sunday, November 8th, on the road. The biggest game in college football won't be coming to the D in 2019, at least. The college football playoff announced today that Santa Clara, California, they won the bid to host the 2019 championship game over Detroit and other bidders. CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock said Detroit's bid was lacking a key element for the week of January 7th of that year, the inability to use the Cobo Center, which will be occupied by the North American International Auto Show. Prosecutors announced Thursday that they will not bring rape charges against Chicago Blackhawks star Patrick Kane, citing a lack of credible evidence in a case rife with reasonable doubt and the accuser's decision to no longer cooperate in the investigation. Now, Erie County, New York, District Attorney Frank Sidita said a 3-month investigation found that physical and forensic evidence, quote, tend to contradict the accuser's claim that she was raped last August 2nd at Kane's off-season home outside of Buffalo. How about this story? Adidas has announced an initiative to help high schools nationwide drop Native American mascots. The German athletic shoe and apparel maker says it will offer free design resources to schools looking to shelve Native American mascots, nicknames, imagery, or symbolism. The company also pledges to provide financial support to ensure the cost of changing is not prohibitive. Hats off to Adidas. That's big. The Cincinnati Bengals take on the Cleveland Browns on Thursday Night Football tonight. Kickoff is set for 8:25 p.m. and the game can be seen on CBS. Good news concerning Lamar Odom. His health has improved to the point where he is allowed to have visitors in the hospital. That report is coming from Mark Medina of the LA Daily News. Now, Medina reports Lakers forward Meta World Peace, a longtime friend of Odom's, planned to pay his former teammate a visit during the Lakers' off day yesterday. And last but not least, sad news in the world of high school football. A Western Kansas high school football player died the day after collapsing during a game. Brian McVeigh, superintendent and principal of Wallace County Schools, said yesterday that Luke Shem, a senior at Wallace County High School, passed away at a Denver hospital where he had been taken after collapsing during the game on Tuesday night. He says it is unclear if Shem suffered any injuries during the 8-man Division I game, but that Shem had just scored a touchdown and an extra point when he collapsed on the sidelines. Sad stuff there, folks. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Our phone lines are open. Just simply dial 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to be a part of the show. Or go to Facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. We'll read it right here on our airwaves. Or even tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or at WKAR_sports. Without further ado, let's start the show.
You look at his stats, he's 6-for-13 and with 10 rebounds and 10 assists with only 2 turnovers, and one was a foolish one. I thought that was a great start for him. You know, I kind of looked over at Carlton one time late and I was thinking to myself, I wonder why you won 2 state championships. But I was thinking how lucky he was, because they're both good kids and they're both, you know, good guys. They're both guys that spend a lot of time in the gym, and they are both coachable. I mean, you can ride them, you can get on them, you can pat them on the back, you can do a lot of things with them. And they respond for the most part. But I'm proud of the way they work this summer. It's nice to see that be rewarded.
You know, initially, I had planned on starting today's show by recapping what occurred last night at the Breslin Center between the Michigan State men's basketball team as they hosted Tom Izzo's alma mater, Northern Michigan. Michigan State getting a big win to start their year, starting on a positive note. Convincing victory, 94-53, the final last night. We all kind of suspected that. I mean, Michigan State, talent-wise, certainly outweighs against the Wildcats, at least. I plan on starting the show with that. It was a great time. I got the chance to PA announce my very first time rocking the mic for a MSU men's basketball game. A fun time. It's so interesting because they put you right there. You're, like, right in between both benches, and I can hear everything, and I do mean everything, that Tom Izzo is saying to his players and personnel, which some of it I can't repeat here on the airwaves, but it was a fun time, a fun time last night. And seeing Deontay Davis, how outstanding he looked. That kid, oh, I see what Izzo meant in Media Day when he said that this kid could be one of the best big men to ever play at Michigan State. The kid is a beast. I remember I covered one game of Deontay's when he was in high school, when Muskegon actually took on Lansing Everett, coached by, of course, Desmond Ferguson and company. They met up in the, I believe it was a playoff game, at Don Johnson Fieldhouse last year. Got a chance to cover that game. It was the craziest high school basketball game I've ever covered. Those of you who have been to Don Johnson Fieldhouse know how packed that venue is from the ceiling on down. It's crazy. I mean, it's one of the most legendary basketball venues in this area and in Michigan, to be honest with you. And I got a chance to see Deontay Davis play then. He was impressive, but he was more impressive last night, folks. He was unbelievable. So that's what I planned on starting today's show with. And we'll eventually get to it. We'll get to it in just a sec, matter of fact. But I don't know if you guys saw this, but as I was prepping, getting my notes together, getting my thoughts together for today's show, I looked down on my phone. I'm always getting these notifications on ESPN's app. Thank goodness for ESPN's app, man. They are right to the minute. They if it's breaking news, right to the minute, you know, you get it right to your phone. It's fantastic. And I look down, and what do I read? What do I see when I look down at my phone? And I had to kind of do a double take because it didn't initially hit me when I read it. I thought someone at ESPN was probably playing a trick on me. But this is what I read. NFL. Lions fire GM Martin Mayhew, President Tom Lewan. League sources tell that to ESPN's Adam Schefter. Team is 1-7 this season. That is the exact notification that came across my phone. And after I digested it, the immediate first initial thought that came to my brain was that Detroit Lions fans, turn up, man. Go crazy. Throw a party. This is exactly what you all have been waiting on. We all know that the upper management has to take the brunt of the blame for why the Detroit Lions have not been a legitimate title contender on the regular. You have to give the brunt of the blame to upper management for constantly failing each and every NFL draft that Lions fans sit on their couches and watch every year with the high pick because they're bad just about every year and have to consistently sit there and watch the Lions' idiocracy bleed through the television sets, not addressing the needs of the team. If you are a Detroit Lions fan, you have to be going insane in the membrane right now. This is what you wanted. We all know that when looking at Martin Mayhew, he was the right-hand man when Matt Millen was the guy here. And we all know how Matt Millen how big of a clueless guy he was when he was a part of the upper echelons for the Detroit Lions franchise. I'm glad he's a broadcaster now. My goodness. And the Fords, how constantly they have just made just idiotic decisions over the years. This was the right move. And it was a move that we've kind of thrown around. And this is the thing about the Lions that have constantly frustrated me. Upper management has constantly dropped the ball. But every year, when we evaluate this team, when they have bad seasons, we sit there and say they need to clean house. They need to get rid of personnel. And what happens the following year? They keep those same people on the payroll, and those same individuals continue to do what they've been doing. And that is absolutely nothing. But folks, this is a step in the right direction. This is finally the Lions practicing what they preach. If you don't live up to expectations, there is no more loyalty. If you aren't consistently good at your job, you will lose your job. And the Lions are finally demonstrating that with actions. Again, firing general manager Martin Mayhew. He didn't know what he was doing. President Tom Lewine, he needed to get the boot. Now the next question comes whether or not the Detroit Lions are going to fire the head coach, Jim Caldwell. I do believe now that looking at how Martin Mayhew and Tom Lewine have now been let go, and looking at how even before those two left, offensive coordinator at the time, Joe Lombardi, he was let go. I think it's just, and I stated that maybe you give Jim Caldwell another year because of what he did last year. And looking at how this season has gone, that offense has been dismal, to say the least. You had Joe Lombardi pulling the strings there. I said, maybe, okay, this was a playoff team last year. This is a bad year. I know it is. But maybe you give Caldwell one more year. But I can't see now how the Lions are going to keep Caldwell as their coach, seeing as though everyone seems to be getting the boot. Martin Mayhew gone, Tom Lewine gone, Joe Lombardi gone, Jim Caldwell, and some more fuel has been set on that fire when looking at Jim Caldwell's comments about the Detroit media and how the Detroit media is so quote-unquote negative. He called it the dungeon of doom anytime he goes into the press room and has to field questions from the Detroit media. I don't think, now with this move happening, this breaking news happening, I don't think Jim Caldwell is going to keep his job this year. I just got to be honest here. I don't know. And it's bad. I mean, the Lions going all the way to London, going all overseas and just completely embarrassing themselves against the Kansas City Chiefs team that didn't even have Jamal Charles, 45-10. Are you kidding me? That looks just horrendous. And looking at Mayhew's background, 50 years old, he was hired by the Lions on an interim basis after the team fired Matt Millen during that 0-16 season. You guys remember that back in 2008. Gosh, was that bad or what? After the year, Detroit lifted the interim title and made him the general manager. Now, he initially hired, let's go through the timeline here. He initially hired Jim Schwartz, who led the Lions to the playoffs in 2011, but fired him following the 2013 season and replaced him with Caldwell. Lewine was hired by the Lions as their team president on December 29th of 2008. Worked 20 years with the Lions, including six as the team's president. Both Lewine and Mayhew put their brainchilds together and put together this Detroit current roster. Now, when looking at the roster for the D, and this is what I think has frustrated Detroit fans to the 20th power, is that, okay, looking at, you know, the early 2000s and even at that 0-16 year, the reason why Detroit, and I do believe this, I think Detroit Lions fans were a bit content with the Lions being as bad as they were is because they didn't have the talent to be good. There were no pieces to work with. There was not the personnel that you sat there and said, okay, this guy or that guy or that defense is going to take the Lions to the promised land. The reason why I think this is so amplified right now is because the Lions have all of the talent in the world to be successful. There is no way that this team should be 1-7 when you look at that roster closely. Point blank, period. So when you are given the tools to be successful and you're not, that makes it for me and for a lot of fans out there, maybe the majority of fans out there, 100 times worse, because you have the tools necessary. It's like a kid in school, okay? If you bring that kid up in a great environment, you put a mom and a dad in the household, and you put great role models in his life, and you give him the guidance that he needs. You make sure that kid is taken care of. There is no way that kid should not succeed in life. And if that kid fails, It's a major disappointment. More of a disappointment than if you have another kid on the other hand who grew up maybe in a single parent household, who grew up not having those adamant role models in his life, his or her life, who grew up in a poor school system. We understand why that kid may grow up to have troubles down the road. But if a kid has the tools to be successful and is not successful, that makes it 100 times worse. And right now, the Detroit Lions have the tools. They just aren't being used the right way. Folks, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I want to get the reaction right now of our engineer, the man behind the glass. He hails from New Orleans. Isaac Constance, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Al, yeah, shocking development. Really a cyclone of rumors just swirling around right now. You see also that the latest NFL.com reports have Jim Caldwell safe for this season. These are just rumors, of course, just reports, nothing official released. But also the fact that the Lions upper management, the new front office, might be looking to ship Matthew Stafford at the end of this season. So it's really a coup d'etat, it seems like, in the Lions office, and rightfully so. Like you said, rightfully so. This team had all the tools to success. They made what should have been the divisional rounds last year. And again, good offensive system. Yeah, the Lions not great, but at the same time, we see Eric Ebron develop a little bit. Matthew Stafford has plenty of receiving targets. You see what looks to be a decent draft pick of Amir Abdullah, totally misused. You see a defense that was so really impressive and made important stops last year.
Tops in the league last year.
Go to the worst in the league. 30.6 points per game allowed.
And you know what? I've been hearing this dialogue as well, Isaac, this year. I went home this past weekend to Detroit, and I'm sitting there chatting with my dad about the Lions. And I've heard this before from many Lions fans so far this season. I feel like a lot of Lions fans who still are clinging on to hope and trying to search for an answer as to why this defense is so bad this year, a lot of them immediately go for the easy kill answer. And, oh, it's because they don't have Ndamukong Suh. That's not the root of the problem for this Detroit Lions defense. You got a secondary who can't cover anybody. You've got, you know, safeties and linebackers who constantly give up these little dump throws right in the middle of the field for first downs.
They over-pursue every single game.
I agree. And, you know, at first when I was evaluating this team throughout the first four games of the year, I said, okay, when DeAndre Levy gets back, that's going to stop. All that's going to stop and get nipped in the bud. But we haven't been able to see that happen because DeAndre Levy has not been healthy. A lot of frustrations there. But so it's more than Ndamukong Suh not donning a Honolulu blue jersey. The Lions just haven't been able to get it done in the simple areas of the game on that defensive end. So I hate that cop-out excuse.
Yeah, I'm with you 100% because also the transformation from the best defense to the league to the worst, that is a huge drop-off. That is a precipitous drop as you can get. So, yeah, two players might be out, but guess what? Your secondary still had some decent tools left over from last year. And if you were so worried about losing Ndamukong Suh, like everybody knew they would. We were talking about this all offseason. Maybe you should have made a better attempt to retain Nick Fairley the season before and do something to minimize that blow. All this comes down to the front office. Yes, the injuries haven't been great. Yes, you lost Ndamukong Suh, but losing Suh is part of the GM's responsibility to either cover for him. And you see Haloti Ngata as the replacement, who I thought was decent at the time. But guess what? It's not my job to make these picks. It's theirs. And he has not produced whatsoever. Missed two games, registered one sack on the season. That is not a Suh replacement. This defense has been atrocious. The offense hasn't been much better. The line is embarrassing despite the fact that they spent a first-round pick on that instead of going after a defensive tackle like Malcolm Brown, who I wanted
Detroit. Yeah, right.
And this is what happens. This is what happens when you go for age and experience over proven talent, when you try to get all of these rookies with potential but don't actually have the skills to keep your team afloat. And that's why they're 1-7.
Preach on, brother. Preach on. Folks, our phone lines are open, as you just heard. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Call in right now if you have a reaction to the Lions firing GM Martin Mayhew and President Tom Lewand. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. Or you can even tweet me at AlMartinWKR or at WKR_sports. I actually have a comment here on my Instagram because I always forget that I link my Twitter to my Instagram. So I always post a bit of a promo picture for today's show, you know, talking about what, you know, kind of breaking down what we're talking about on the show today. And I sent a screenshot of my phone when I got that ESPN notification. And I have a comment here from a kid from Flint. That's his Instagram name, creative. It's actually my frat brother weighing in here. He says, quote, "Get rid of everybody but Caldwell. Wish we could take the team from the Ford family." I kind of see where he's going with that. Because, I came on here at the beginning of this week and said, maybe you give Caldwell maybe another shot at this thing. Because looking at how you know, it's impossible to put a 1-7 year on just one person. It's impossible to point the finger and say, you, buddy, are the reason why this team is horrendous. This is a collective effort of garbage, okay? That starts with the upper management. And looking at what Caldwell did last year, playoff team last year, they were a bad call away against my Dallas Cowboys from advancing in last year's playoffs. Maybe you do give them another year. I just can't see it because it seems as though that the pitchfork is out right now, and people are dropping like flies from this organization, as well as they should be. And again, it starts with the Ford family as well. I think he nailed it right there. It starts with the Fords. They have been at the center of this debacle. 517-355-9527. Let's take a call right before we hit our first break here. One of our favorite callers on the line right now, my man Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
What I believe is this. Somebody at the NFL office must have told him to fire them. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's so?
Maybe.
Because
I think
they kind of make the Lions look incompetent the way they have been for years after that debacle in England. Do you think somebody in the NFL office told them to get rid of, y'all got to clean house because you're hurting our brand?
I think Martha Ford, I think that was the last draw. For mm-hmm. her, I think when uh-huh. you go all the way to London, and again you play a Kansas City Chiefs team that doesn't have their star player on that offense, and that offense puts up 40 plus points on you, and you can only put up 10. That's embarrassing. You know that's embarrassing, Mike. And
they're not being competitive at all.
Not at all.
They're just like
right.
giving away. I was thinking about Nick Foley. He's in St. Louis. And I thought about it, the St. Louis Rams. They're probably going to move to Inglewood probably after this season and stuff. Do you think that the new St. Louis Rams got a better future right now than the Lions do?
Oh, without a doubt. I think the Rams are going to make the playoffs this
okay.
year, Mike. I love that team. I love that team. So, yeah, I think there's no question that the Rams – I mean, heck, you could choose the Portland Red Raiders. They're having a better year than the Detroit Lions right now, okay? I mean, it doesn't matter what
laughing.
Level.
I'm just laughing at that because they're talking about moving the team to Inglewood and moving the Chargers and the Raiders to I think it's still
Los Angeles.
Yeah.
L.A., yeah.
And they're going to build a stadium for them. I said, what is this? Do NFL teams all of a sudden get better when they threaten to move and build a new stadium? Or what? I'm just asking.
And, you know, and it's interesting. That's an interesting conversation because L.A. Yeah. has been vying to get another, you know, get back an NFL team for quite some time now. And I think that mm-hmm. the upper echelons in the NFL are looking at that market in L.A. and looking at it saying that there may be a chance for us to really capitalize and make some money out of this thing. So which team it will be, I think that debate is still up right now, right?
Yeah, it certainly
yeah.
is.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens, though.
Yeah, let me ask you one more question before you get on your break, man. Do you think Connor Cook, I was reading somewhere, I don't know if I was reading online or I was reading in a magazine, that Connor Cook, he's the only reason why Michigan State is up like they are, because they say they a mediocre team. Take that. What you think about that?
Well, I think the reason you are hearing that chatter, Mike, is because of the way Michigan State has won this year. They've made it closer than it should have been in many, many games. We've documented that very well throughout our show here. And I think Connor Cook, you know, has been, you know, one of the rare shining lights as to why the Spartans in those close moments have been able to pull out and stretch ahead of the opposition, because Connor Cook has been unbelievable. I mean, you could go back, to that last game before the bye week, and he was lights out. Lights out, you know. The throws that he made, again, he was what, 2 yards away from having the highest yardage out of any quarterback in Michigan State football history. And the throws he was making in that pocket, Mike, I mean, they were NFL type throws. It was the best performance I've ever seen in my time covering MSU football from any quarterback, including Kirk Cousins, who's in the NFL now as the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins. But Connor Cook is certainly a big reason why this team is 8-0. But I wouldn't say he's the only reason. I think the running back core has also contributed to that, and guys like L.J. Scott, Madre London, we're starting to see Delton Williams get some time now. He had his first touchdown of the season 2 weeks ago before the bye week. So I don't think you can just point to one thing and say that's the reason why the MSU football team is where they are right now, Mike.
Here's one more question before I let you. Do the Lions ever draft anybody from Michigan State or Michigan on their team, because you got Tom Brady and Charles Woodson, they play for other teams and everything? Do they really go out and – I don't know if they scout the state or not. What's your opinion on that? Thanks for letting me talk to you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Mike. And I don't know. Do they have anybody from Michigan State on their roster right now?
I can think of. I'll look that up really quickly. Yeah, certainly no significant players.
Let's get Austin on that. Austin, can you look that up for us when we're hitting the break? I don't know if they have – who's the most – I'm sure they have had a Spartan on there. I'm just trying to rack my brain now. No name is coming to me right now, at least. Yeah, we'll have to look that one up. We'll put Austin on that to see if when's the last time Michigan State has had a Spartan or a Wolverine on their respective roster. Let's hit our first break, though. When we come back, we will chat about last night's Michigan State men's basketball game as Tom Izzo and the Spartans get a win in exhibition play against Northern Michigan, the Wildcats. All of that and so much more. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. And again, folks, we're asking you to call in 517-355-9527. We want to get your reaction to the breaking news concerning the Detroit Lions, as they have decided to fire general manager Martin Mayhew and president Tom Lewand. And also, I want to answer the question of our last caller, Mike from Saginaw. Mike wanted to know, who was the last Spartan or Wolverine that the Detroit Lions drafted? And that happened to be back in 2003 when they drafted Charles Rogers with the second overall pick of the NFL draft. So, of course, Charles Rogers played his college football at Michigan State University at the wide receiver position. I definitely remember that. I don't know how that name didn't pop out at me initially. Also, I have another comment here looking at my Twitter page. This is from Bertley C. Bertley says, should start a GoFundMe. I'm sort of joking, but cooperatively owned sports teams have a model for success. Packers. And he actually typed in cough, cough. That's why I coughed live here on the
air. So, I agree 100%. I've always thought the Packers, coming from a city where we had two owners try to move the Saints and then the Hornets. Yeah, I always am a fan of co-op teams, and I think that's a great idea. And we actually just had a caller give in, shout out to him, for feeding us the same information, Charles Rogers as well. is our good friend on the show, Todd Duckett, Al.
Hey, Todd is calling in?
No, Todd was on the Lions in 2007.
In 2007. I thought he was calling on the show. You duped me there, Isaac. But yeah, there you go. That's another one. So again, folks, our phone lines are open, 517-355-9527. I totally have to agree with Bartley on that as well. I think that if the Lions do follow that model, there is a track record of teams who have gone that route and had success. All right. Well, again, we'll continue to take your calls and thoughts on the Detroit Lions firings of Tom Lewine and Martin Mayhew. But moving on here, I want to briefly talk about the MSU men's basketball team. They opened up the year last night at home, exhibition play against Northern Michigan, which happens to be Tom Izzo's alma mater. Michigan State gets a 94-53 win over the Wildcats, and there were a few star-studded players who performed pretty well. Number one being Denzel Valentine. He had a triple-double last night. How about that? 14 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. ESPN voted Denzel before the season started for MSU this week as the number three college basketball player in the nation. And I tell you what, he's certainly living up to it, at least for right now. Only two turnovers for Denzel, and that's something that he certainly has had a battle with throughout his entire Michigan State basketball career. But a great start for him. Another player that stood out was Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes, two Lansing natives in Valentine and Forbes. Bryn Forbes threw up 23 points. He was 7 of 10 from three-point line. Again, last night was my first opportunity to actually be the PA announcer for the MSU men's basketball team, and it seemed like every other play, I was yelling out, Forbes for three. Buckets, man. He was great. Bryn Forbes was fantastic. A guy who I thought was going to be a little bit more aggressive than he was last night. Again, it's only exhibition game. It's only the first game of the year. But I would have liked to have seen Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr. throw up more shots. He was only 1 for 4. He had 2 points, 5 assists. But it's been well documented from head coach Tom Izzo that Lou Rawls, Tum Tum Naren Jr. has been in the gym working on that shot. That was a hindrance for the team last year because many people felt as though when Tum Tum was out there with the other four starters, it was like 4-on-5 offensively because Tum Tum didn't have a jump shot. We are told that that shot has improved. I got a chance to talk with Tum Tum during media day, and Tum Tum said that he has lived in the gym and worked on that shot and worked on that shot and worked on that shot some more, and it has improved, but we didn't get to see that on display that much last night. But here is head coach Tom Izzo on Tum Tum and shooting a basketball, and then he goes into Denzel Valentine's play. Pretty comical start to this question, though. Here we go.
Yeah, and then he doesn't shoot that one. He's worked on his shooting. He's been in here at 6:30 in the morning every day. And, you know, I told him the home crowd doesn't try to trick you. It's the opposers. When they say 3-2-1, you know that it's 3-2-1. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, 3-2-1, shoot the ball, you know. And so Tom, he's making those shots too. So I have no problem with that. But he has been a little more aggressive. He still can guard anybody. Right now, you know, with him, Zell, and Bryn, we're very solid there. As Matt and Aaron, you know, come on, I think we're going to have 5-6 guys that we're going to be able to rotate in there, and that's going to be good, you know. And remember, we still got Kenny and Marv out, and so that makes that 4 spot a little bit dicey right now. But Kobe's played well. Kobe's done a good job, so somebody's not going to play, so it's going to be interesting. Competition's going to be fun, you know. It's going to be see who earns their spot. I brought Zell in this morning. He was walking around. I said, come on in my office. I wanted to talk to him about, I know it's your senior year and you've put in so much time this summer, and you know, but try to prove that you're a complete player tonight, and I think he did that. He did not hunt shots. In fact, I thought he missed a couple of good shots for him. He found people. He, for the most part, made it simple. You know, once in a while, it's like a twitch. You know, he's got to do something a little fancier. But I thought very simple, basic. And Bryn, I can see why Bryn liked him in high school. I mean, those passes are right there. But and then going in there and rebounding like he did, playing two positions isn't easy. He played the point and the two and three, so three positions. But, you know, Denzel Valentine's got a chance to be, I think, a great player. You know, he's a Draymond-ish-like player. He plays with his head. He plays with his heart. Winning is important. Michigan State's important. All the things that you want out of a guy, he brings. And if he lets the game come to him, man, he's got a chance to be really, really good this year.
Yeah, without a doubt, Denzel Valentine certainly lived up to the billing last night. And the thing that I noticed about Zell when watching that game last night was that Zell, he didn't force anything. And that harps on those turnovers. Only two turnovers for Denzel Valentine last night. But when he was in rhythm, when he was in transition, he made sure that he had a good window to throw the ball to one of his teammates before he released it from his fingertips. And we've seen Zell, and he can make some of those flashy passes in tight windows. But we've seen the opposite of that, where when he tries to force it through those tight windows, the ball is turned over and the opposition gets a steal. Denzel Valentine, he took what the defense gave him. And that is the key if you want to be a great point guard or a great guard, period. Izzo also noted how Denzel Valentine, depending on the lineup that was out there, he played three positions. He played point guard, a little bit of point guard. He played shooting guard. And he also even played a little bit of small forward. So Denzel Valentine is a dynamic player because you can plug him in so many different areas on the basketball court. And he will play it very efficiently. So I think that the ceiling is very high for Denzel Valentine, and he's going to be fun to watch this entire year. And as you just heard from Tom Izzo as well, I mean, yeah, the crowd is not going to try and trick you, okay, when you are in the Breslin Center. So, Tom, when you hear the crowd counting down, take a shot, bro. Take a shot, man. I mean, you can't go wrong with that, all right? Also, another guy who really impressed me was Deontay Davis, and he impressed a lot of people. Anybody who went to that game or saw that game last night, Deontay Davis was very impressive. He was 5 of 7, 2 of 3 from the free throw line. He had 4 rebounds. He finished with 12 points. Very efficient, and it's so comical because when evaluating, you know, media day for Michigan State this year, Tom Izzo talked about how it's so hard to get Deontay Davis to talk. He's a very shy kid. He was like that in high school as well. He's not a media darling. Doesn't show a lot of emotion when speaking with him. But I tell you what, last night he did show some emotion, folks. I mean, he was very into the game, and there was a moment where he got into one of the opposition's face. And Tom Izzo loved that stuff, and he even said, Tom Izzo went on to say, that would be a technical foul that I would root for, okay? I wouldn't be mad if he did get a technical foul, because he wants to see more emotion from Deontay Davis. And you can just see the growth in the kid. I remember comparing his body type from where it was in high school to where it is now. He's put on some pounds. He looks faster. He looks more athletic, if you ask me. So Tom was asked, when Deontay arrived here on campus, how they have evolved him as a player. And this is what Tom had to say last night.
Well, number one, we had to gain him some weight, you know, and he's gained some. He's actually lost, though, about 7-8 pounds. You know, I don't think he was used to the rigorous going up and down that he's had till he came in, and we got him up to, I think, 242 or 3, and he's down to about 235 or 6. But I'd like to get him back up to 240. But keep in mind, as I said earlier, Adrian Payne was 215 when he came. So Deontay's got very good legs, he's got Tarzan legs and Jane upper body right now. You know, we gotta get that a little bit. No, that's not a sexist statement. I just being factual. And we're gonna get him better at that. But what I love about Deontay is, I saw a film of that last game. We were on the road and he looked awful. You know, he didn't play very hard. He didn't, do the things. And he's got a very, very good high school coach, in my opinion. And he did a great job with him. But Deontay, still, his motor isn't always running, you know. Sometimes it's on idle. And so I'd say that's the biggest thing that DJ's lived in his hind quarter for a while now. And we'll probably live in it most of the year. But you can see where this kid's got a chance. I mean, he's got a great jump hook. He can shoot the ball, a little flat at times, but getting better at that. He handles, great outlet, great passer. that's part of his game you haven't really seen yet. I didn't realize how good he was at it. So I think, you know, he's going to grow. And playing against Gavin and Matt, and Matt has really done a great job in trying to tutor him along with DJ and Mike. And so, you know, what we're doing now is trying to speed that process up, and Deontay's got a chance.
Yeah, folks, Deontay Davis is going to be really, really good in the green and white. 517-355-9527. Let's go to line two right now. We've got my man Ray from Indiana. Ray, how you doing?
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fantastic. Always good to hear from you, Ray. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to congratulate John Beilein. He already got a five-year extension. He's getting two more years, 7 years.
Right.
It sure paid off for him to be a puppet for the University of Michigan, didn't it? He's nothing but a puppet, my friend. I'm going to tell you why I say that.
Okay, why you say that?
I ran into him at dinner, Michigan football dinner, for like 3 years after they fired me, okay?
Okay.
He took my chocolates and hailed the Victor's ink pens, okay? This guy's a millionaire.
He took your chocolates, you said?
I give him chocolates every year and hailed the Victor's ink pens. I asked him if he'd help me get my job back. He took my phone number down, never called me back. And David Brandon was right there, too, and he took some chocolates and hailed the Victor's ink pens. They said, we'll call you back. And never called me back. They blew me off. These guys are millionaires, okay? Now he's got a 7 or 8 year extension. This is why I don't root for him. This guy didn't even make the NIT last year, and they're giving him two more years on top of his five.
Well,
I mean, talk about gold. It says in Proverbs, everybody, do you want gold and silver? Understanding now is, you know what 99% of the world want? The gold and silver. And that John Beilein, he has a wheelbarrow that he gets some money from University of Michigan. What has he did the last year or two? I can't wait for you guys to beat him up again in basketball again this year. Just beat him up.
Yeah. Well,
football,
Ray,
basketball. Can they find anything they can beat you at? Can they find anything they can beat you at?
Well, I tell you what, Ray. I think, and I understood. I understand why U of M gave him the extension, because I have to go the opposite of you, Ray. I can only go on my interaction that I've had with John Beilein. I remember I met him. I got a chance to meet and do a feature on Beilein when I was a reporter at Channel 6 News.
Okay.
And I met him, and Ray, he was one of the nicest guys I've ever met.
Yeah, I'm not saying he ain't a nice guy.
And, yeah,
but
I'm
why
just
do
saying.
You sit and look at somebody and take chocolates and hail the Victor's and lie to you? Tell them you're going to call you back, and they never call you.
Right. He was the nicest guy I've ever met, Ray. And I really
Yeah, but I'm talking about your word, sir. Doesn't
right.
your word mean anything?
Yeah, and that's an unfortunate situation. But I will say this, Ray. I think he's a good basketball coach. I really think that John Beilein is one of the best basketball coaches
beyond,
in the nation.
This is beyond sports, okay? If you see somebody and you talk to them and you tell them you're going to call you back, your word should mean something.
Right.
And
no,
David Brandon and all them other guys, I just can't wait for them to get beat up some more in football, beat up more in basketball. I just can't wait. Just can't wait, because you know what? Anybody that's that ignorant, they need to humble themselves down there. All your money, pride, and arrogance won't get you into heaven, but it could get you into hell, and that includes me, Ray Berger. You better stay humble.
Ray, always an interesting call. Thank you, Ray.
Okay, Johnny, I hope you listen to what you can humble yourself. You know, you don't have to sell your for a couple dollars.
All right, Ray. Thanks a lot for calling, my man. Let's go to line three. We've got Dave from Grand Rapids. Dave, welcome to Current Sports. How you doing, brother?
Well, I have a lot fewer access to grind.
I'm telling you, man.
I'm glad he didn't take that too personally.
Right, you just never know where a call is going to go with good old Ray.
No, and that was let's say that was unique.
That was unique. I had to strap in tight for that.
I have a much simpler reason why John Beilein got that raise and extension.
Okay.
It's because they gave Jim Harbaugh a $7 million contract.
He had to keep up, right?
So.
Right, right.
They, you know, I mean, they don't, they, and they still want to say, well, we're like, you know, they'll cringe when they say that, but we're more like Michigan State. We're like Michigan State now, where they had a basketball program and now they have a football program. They're in that Me Too situation as well.
Right,
and the same thing goes with Ohio State, is you can't be paying your basketball coach 25% of what your football coach earns.
Right.
If you're going to make that statement, I just wanted to make a quick couple of quick statements about the Lions, okay?
Yeah, go ahead, Dan.
I've listened to this thing. I've listened to your show and other shows and listened to all these callers who all the time underestimated Martha Firestone Ford. And, oh, she's an old lady. She does that. She, you know, she's 90 years old. And I said, never underestimate the lady who has been a child of billionaires and married to a billionaire. Okay, she knows how the game's played. And I think that I think she just cleaned house at Duke Caldwell State because that's just smart economics. Let him finish the year. That's all. Thanks.
Right. I hear you. Hey, Dave, great call and great take. I appreciate that, my man. Again, folks, less than 10 minutes left in the show, 517-355-9527. And, yeah, you hear that a lot when it comes to Martha, that she's old and doesn't know what she's doing and blah, blah, blah. But I will say this was the right move. She pulled the trigger, and this was the right move. I totally agree with you, Dave. All right, less than 9 minutes left. I do believe we have him on the line right now to talk about a pretty big event. It's always a great time. I don't know if you guys have ever been down to the Lansing Center to witness one of Ron DeLeon promotions fights. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable stuff, folks. And this weekend, it's coming to you. The Lansing Center. This Saturday, November 7th, Vanni Vidi Vici. I think I said that right. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
No problem. Did I say that right, Ron?
Yes, sir, you did.
Talk about
which means I came, I saw, and I conquered. So fitting for tonight, this weekend's event.
Love it. Can you tell us about it a bit? Who do you got on the slate? How many fights? Go ahead.
Well, we have 15 fights scheduled, including 8 championship fights and 4 female fights. We've got 2 MSU alums. Our main event heavyweight champion, Esteban Rodriguez, is going to defend his heavyweight belt, and Brent Payne, 155-pounder, doing some damage this weekend as well. So it's been action-packed fights, female fights. I can't wait. It's going to be a great show.
You know, I'm always interested when I see a new flyer promoting one of your outstanding events, Ryan. I'm curious, how do you come up with these different themes?
It's very simple. I'm a CATA bus driver. I sit on my butt and brainstorm all day what the next event's going to be, what it's going to look like. Every now and then I might miss a passenger, but hey, in the event, it's all worth it to me. So, but no, I just different ideas come to me and some come to fruition. Like this one did, came out beautifully. Ray Del Rio also shoots for Michigan State University. I had the pleasure of working with him as I do most of my posters. Did a phenomenal job with this one. I think it's one of my best posters ever.
Oh, I love it. When I first saw it, man, it certainly catches your eye, to say the least, when you're just browsing around and you look at it. It's unbelievable. Now, when it comes to the fighting personnel who will be getting it on in the ring this weekend, or I should say the octagon, right, this weekend, who are some of the headliners, some of the big fights to know?
Well, as I mentioned, Esteban Rodriguez is defending his heavyweight championship. We also have 2 female championship fights as well. We've got, as I said, just an array of a championship fight from all different levels, from the heavyweight to the 125-pound division, everything in between. So it's going to be a great night of fights. It's been 15 fights, 8 championship fights, and 4 female fights all Saturday night.
How can people get tickets, Ryan?
Tickets, they can get tickets by calling 517-214-0929. Or at this time, just get them at the door on Saturday. There'll be plenty of tickets available. The door is open at 7. The fights start at 8 o'clock.
Now, you know what? As many times we've had you on our airwaves, Ryan, before we get you out of here, I have not asked you about your thoughts on the Ronda Rousey impact on your respective sport. What are your thoughts about what Ronda is doing for the sport and how it's just seeming to the attention on her is just gone through the roof, to for lack of better terms?
Oh. She's phenomenal for the sport. She transcends the sport, you know. It just brought so much attention to it, which is always positive. And then she's a hell of an athlete on top of that. If it doesn't hurt, she's attractive. Anything that sells, that definitely sells. She's unbeatable at this moment. So, like I said, she brought so much to the sport and inspired so many females to pursue their dream as far as fighting. And, it's gone a lot. It's what she's done has trickled down to even the all the other promotions, and this worked wonders for everyone. So yeah, very happy with their success.
Without a doubt. Well, Ryan, I tell you what, we'll do our due diligence and make sure we get the word out tomorrow as well here on our airwaves about your event this weekend, also via Facebook and my Twitter page. Again, Ryan DeLeon, MMA and boxing.
I really appreciate it, but I do have to get something off my chest real quick.
No,
though.
Go ahead, Ryan. Go ahead, my man.
I was interviewed on your show about a year or so ago, and some guy promised me that he'd be a ring announcer for at least one or two of my fights at my event.
I did.
I tuned into the basketball game last night, and he's the PA announcer for the MSU basketball. I want that guy to do at least two of my fights, maybe even Saturday if you're available.
Ryan, I am going to shoot you a call or a text right after the show. We got to talk about this. That looks so bad. It makes me look like I big-timed you or something like that, dude. Come on, man. I have not forgotten about that. Ryan, I promise you, I am doing one of those fights, okay, very soon.
Sounds great, Ed. I'd love to see you in the cage, my friend.
My
and
man.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks so much, Ryan, for coming on, dude.
All right. Well, thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Oh man, I feel so bad now. I remember we had Ryan on the show, on the TV show. I'm like, Ryan, I got you. I am your guy. I'm gonna ring announce, and it just never happened. So that's again, folks. If you still want to weigh in, man, I can't believe time is flying. Just 4 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527. If you can't get in a quick call here, go to facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR or at WKAR. _sports. Really briefly here, Throwback Thursday. Let's jump to it right now.
But the Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
Wing, there's a drive to left. That one is long.
Eisenman back over his step. Into the spot for Brown. Shoots. Yes. And there it goes. You never know when to expect it. Darren McCarty said before.
All right, a quick Throwback Thursday where we take a look at what happened in sports history on this day in sports, which I think as years go by, I mean, you'll look at this day and say this was the day that the Lions fired Martin Mayhew and Tom Luan, right? But other than that, going in the history now, 1959 on this day in sports, the American Football League was formed. In 1971, the Los Angeles Lakers began a winning streak of 33 consecutive games. That is long gone. Kobe, get it together, my man. Get it together. All right, 1994, George Foreman became boxing's oldest heavyweight champ when he knocked out Michael Moore in the 10th round of their WBA fight in Las Vegas, Nevada. Foreman was 45 years old. In 1995, John Elway of the Denver Broncos became the seventh player in NFL history to pass for 40,000 career yards. In 1997, the Milwaukee Brewers became the first Major League Baseball team to switch leagues during the 20th century. They moved from the American League to the National League. And on this day, in 1999, Dennis Rodman of the NBA and Carmen Electra were both arrested and charged with battery and domestic violence in a Miami Beach, Florida hotel. Oh, that was ugly back in 1999. Isaac, you a big Dennis guy? You like Dennis Rodman?
Gotta love Dennis. Dennis is maybe the biggest hustler on the court of all time. No, I'm crazy about the guy. I wonder how he's doing over in North Korea.
I have no idea. Have not been following his career.
Yeah, they usually don't release too much information from that part of the world.
Right, and I know he was like best friends with, was it Kim Jong-un?
Yeah, I think so. Or Il. I think Il before Un. I'm not sure.
One of the two. One of the Kim Jungs, I know. But, yeah. All right, shout out to Dennis Rodman. All right, well, great show. A lot of discussion. A lot of debate. Thanks so much for all of our callers who called in. Dave. Mike, of course, Ray, Ron DeLeon, MMA and boxing fight promoter, all of those who weighed in on social media. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in and listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Don't forget Current Sports TV tonight at 10:30 p.m. on your televisions, WKAR TV. I sit down with youth football coach Lee Vickers. Don't miss it. Take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. The final day here in Mint, Michigan, in the 70s, when it comes to our temperature. Enjoy it, folks. Get out and about. Take care and be easy, people.